Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to just read verses 18 through 21. This is our fourth week. The past 3 weeks we've looked in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Pardon me, 1 through 13. And we saw what happened there on the day of Pentecost. It was a new work that God began on the face of the earth. He had promised it all along. He had planned it all along. But He began a new work the year that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And on the day of Pentecost, that new work was birthed. The church was born on the day of Pentecost in the year that Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, and ascended back into heaven. That is a fact. We looked at that. Two things took place there on the day of Pentecost, and that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had promised them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, go to Jerusalem and wait. You go there and wait for the promise of the Spirit, the promise of the Father, which was the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And He said, you'll be baptized that day with the Spirit. And that's exactly what took place. Secondly, on that day, there's two things simultaneously that took place, but two separate things took place. The first one was the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. We've explained that. We'll explain a little bit more here in just a moment. But what that is. But the second thing that took place simultaneously with that was the filling of the Holy Spirit. And young people, those of you who came to know Christ, these verses and these passages are very, it will be very important to you in your life. And when we come to see and understand them, there will be power in your life that, and God will use you. And that's what I'm so thrilled about and looking today. So if you would stand with me this morning as we come now to the writing of the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. This now deals specifically with the filling of the Holy Spirit. There was a lot of miscommunication about this truth, the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit. But as we come this morning, we'll see a powerful truth. I don't know if we'll get through it all this morning or not because of the time here today, but look with me at verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 5. Today, if you know Christ, if you were to die today and you know what your eternal destiny is, your eternal destiny is heaven, then this fact is true of you. The Spirit of God is in you. Christ is in you through the indwelling of the Spirit of God. That happened at the moment of your conversion. And I love the testimonies of these who said that. They said that when they were saved, they had peace. And life took on new meaning. That is the work of the Spirit of God. That is the work of the baptizing of the Spirit of God. You at that moment were placed into Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. Placed into the body of Christ. The Spirit of God, the God who created and made everything, lives in you and me. And He dwells in you. And now there is another aspect to the Christian life that is often overlooked or missed out. And we find it here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Look in verse 18 through 21, but especially verse 18. Paul writes to the Ephesian church there. He says, and do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess. But rather, be filled with the Spirit. You see the contrast. Contrast. Don't be drunk with wine. It doesn't have to be wine, any kind of alcohol, any kind of drugs, any kind of thing that gives a high outside of the purposes of God for your life. And do not be drunk with wine because there's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what is the result of being filled with the Spirit? In these next verses, we read it. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Father, in this place today, we thank you for your glory. We thank you, Father, for the glorious testimonies of your wonder-working power of saving grace in the lives of people. We thank you, Father, that you bring deep conviction about living the spiritual life, living the Christ life. And we thank you, Father, that we're here in this place today. And we ask that you would bless the reading of your word to our understanding. And we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We've talked about the two things on the day of Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It happened on the day of Pentecost in fulfillment of the feast of the Pentecost. There was the feast of Passover, the feast of first fruits, and the feast of Pentecost in those days there where Christ was crucified. He rose from the dead. That's the feast of first fruits. And then on the 50th day after Passover was the day of Pentecost. We have seen that that is the birth of the church, and it was the result of the promise of the Father. So what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is the experience of being placed by God into the body of Christ. It is the experience of God where He comes into the human heart and soul and He regenerates it. That means He produces, the power of God is now in us to produce a change of a disposition of our hearts from living a self-willed, a self-styled life. And He makes us alive unto God to make our lives then what God wants them to be. And He changes us and He transforms us. And all this is by the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we come here to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and the writing of the Apostle Paul, he comes to tell us about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Well, there are three things that we kind of need to think about with the Holy Spirit as we come to talk about this morning. The first thing is in the Bible. Never anywhere in the Bible are we commanded in the Bible to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. There are those well-meaning, sincere people who are probably many Christian friends or Christian acquaintances that will come, may come and tell you, they'll may quote Acts chapter 19 to you and say, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you were saved?" There are people who do that out of sincerity. I'm not trying to criticize them. It's not according to Scripture. The moment you receive Christ, you receive the Spirit of God. You were born again. You were placed into Christ. And that is what the Bible calls the baptizing of the Holy Spirit. That is the coming in of the Spirit of God into your heart and into your life. And we know this from the book of Acts chapter 2, number 1. We also know it because nowhere in Scripture is anyone instructed to seek getting the Holy Spirit. Nowhere. It is not there, and that has become a cultural thing in churches today. The second thing is that never in Scripture are we commanded to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That is because the moment a person repents of their sin and comes in faith to Jesus Christ, to follow Jesus Christ, that's what it means to have faith in Christ, to follow Him. If you're reading the Scriptures and you're reading the Gospels right now, you're likely to come across the scriptural passages that say where Jesus said, "Come and follow me, take up your cross and follow me." He went to Matthew and he said, "Follow me." He went to others and he said, "Follow me." Faith in Jesus Christ is following Him. It's not just believing in Him and just believing about Him, but it is faith is active because we follow Him and we follow His will and we seek to know Him. So we are never commanded to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit because He is given to us at the moment of conversion. And the third thing is, we're never commanded in Scripture to be sealed by the Holy Spirit because that happens. We are sealed the moment you called upon God with a repentant heart and a heart of faith. God saved you and He sealed you with His Holy Spirit. So those things are important. Don't ever be confused. That is truth for you and I to build our faith on. Now, what we're talking about here, what we see here in Ephesians chapter 5, is truth for us to live our lives on. Live our lives by the fillings of the Holy Spirit. Fillings, plural. So the moment we believe, the moment we trusted, then we were born again and the Spirit of God was ours. And so we saw on the day of Pentecost that after they were baptized with the Spirit, then immediately they were filled with the Spirit. And it says there in verse 4, and they began to speak with other languages. Languages they had not learned or studied or known from literally nations all over the world. And many of those nations are listed there beginning in verse 5, going through about verse 11 there, 10 or 11. And this was an amazing thing. These were Galileans. These were the kind of the poor people of the country. the poor people of the nation. These were not the educated people of the world. They didn't live in that part of the world to do that. And so all the people who had come to Jerusalem, the proselytes and the Jews who came to do Passover and Pentecost and first fruits and all that, they were amazed because they heard everybody speaking in their own dialect. And they knew that it was something of God. And so they saw with their eyes God do something that was supernatural. And they heard it in their ears because they heard Galileans speaking, I believe, without even an accent in their own language. And they heard in their own ears. And what did they hear? They heard them rehearsing the mighty works of God. And whenever Israel, whenever Jews today who are believing Jews worship God, oftentimes they rehearse the mighty works of God in the beginning of creation. They'll usually go down to Egypt and the deliverance from slavery into Egypt and on down through the history of God's people, Israel, throughout the Old Testament. That is a common thing for Jews today. So when we see and understand that this is what happened there on the day of Pentecost, and now many years later, the Apostle Paul has been called by Christ himself. He saw Christ there on the road to Damascus. He was called by God and set apart to go and preach the gospel. He learned later he was called to go to the Gentiles. That would be you and me. People like you and me. Go to the non-Jewish people of the world. And so Paul preached. He went to Ephesus and he preached to these people. And he left and he wrote this epistle back to them later. And so we come to chapter 5 in this epistle. And we see there that Paul is giving instructions as Christians. Here are instructions for your life. He says in verse 1 of chapter 5, be dear followers of God like dear children. Then he begins to list the things that Christians are to stay out of in this world. He said fornication, which is premarital relationships with one another, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness and foolishness and all those types of things, they're listed there. And then when he comes down to close to verse 18, he makes this statement, and he says, do not be drunk with wine. Do not do these things in the world. Do not practice the filth of the flesh in the world, because God has made you clean. Jesus Christ died for you, and God has cleaned up your heart, cleaned up your life. Now, it's not automatic. The responsibility is for you and me through the Word of God, through prayer, and through having fellowship with one another. And several of you talked about you have friends, people you know who need to know the Lord, or you know people who have come to know the Lord. Now you need to be supportive one another in your spiritual walk. You desperately need that. You need to do that for yourself, but you need to do that for one another. And so Paul gives us this great truth. Now here's something we need to really remember about Ephesians 5:18. If verse 18 were not written here, penned by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you and I would not know how to live the Christian life. I want you to think about that, and maybe over the week or two ahead as well. If Paul had not written, and do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, you and I would take a legalistic approach to being a Christian. We'd have to try to figure out on our own, in our own logic, in our own thinking, what does it mean to be a Christian? Or what does it mean to be not sin, certain sins in our life? Or how do we come? We would have to write books and have manuals, and they would all be wrong, by the way. Because man has this incredible ability to think logically to the wrong conclusions about most things in life. We do. But Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he instructed us, he commanded, to be filled with the Spirit. So if we did not have this verse in, then it would be a self-styled religion would be the only hope that we would have in life. For instance, if we did not have verse 18, we would not know how to walk in love. If we did not have verse 18, we would not know how to walk in the light as he is in the light. That's what it says in the Gospel of John. We would not know how to walk in wisdom. We would not know how to fulfill all the will of God without the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is not possible. It cannot happen. For some people, they think, okay, what is this filling of the Holy Spirit? Let's answer this question with what time we have left, and then we'll come back and pick back up here again next Sunday morning. But what is this? what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, for oftentimes, for many people, it means that you've got to go and get yourself into some kind of a mood or something, and God will just zap you, and something will happen, and it's all this exterior stuff is going to happen, and you're going to do whatever people do when they get like that. I would say that what the young people and the sponsors who went to camp this week experienced, the filling of the Holy Spirit, that joy that you had inside of you confirming God with you, the Spirit of God saying in your heart, amen to the things that you heard, to the things that you experienced, to the things that you set out to do, just to talk to somebody, Blake, about to witness to them the gospel. It takes the filling of the Holy Spirit to do that. The Spirit of God must be in you and me when we witness to people. The Spirit of God must be dealing with the human heart that is hearing, that is listening. And it is the Spirit of God who births a lost sinner and makes them a new creation in Christ Jesus. It is the filling of the Holy Spirit. So that would be the best example I know of this morning to be able to say that and to talk about that and to do that. And so Paul begins this with big contrast in verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, because that's excess. What is it? What is that about? Well, in the culture of Paul's day, in the Roman world and the world that was at that time, all kinds of temples to all kinds of religions, all types of gods, much like we have in our society, in our world, our country, in our culture, and even around the world today, everybody has their own idea of what religion is or who God is. So the people there, because they were pagans, they had rejected the truth and the knowledge of the true living God, and they made up gods out of their own minds, out of their own hearts, out of the figment of their own imagination. They made up their idea of who God is and what He is and what He is like. And they built temples. They got very sophisticated. They built temples out of marble and whatever else. And they would come to get in touch with their God. They had to get high. Had to get high. And here, alcohol is what they used other things as well. But they believed in their religion that the more out of their mind that they got, the alter their state of mind is what the purpose of that was, so that they could commune and talk with their God, with their pagan God. And so they did this, they practiced it, it was very prevalent. And that's what they thought on the day of Pentecost. They thought, oh, these people are drunk. And Peter said, no, they're not drunk as you suppose. And so we have this picture here, and there's this great contrast. So Paul says, don't be like that. That is not the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's not what it is. That's not what it's about. It's not this outward cogitations of whatever, that spirations and gyrations and things that people do. But then he makes this statement. He says, but in contrast, and do not do this, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want us to look at this morning for just a few minutes, and then we'll have to come back and pick this up here. First of all, in the latter part of verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit is a command of God. That is the command concerning the Spirit of God. That is the command for you and me. It's a mandate from God. You and I are to be filled with the Spirit of God. It is a command. Well, how do we get that? How does that happen to us? Well, we find it in that phrase, in that part of verse 18. It is in the original language we go to, we find it is in the passive voice. It literally says this. Maybe we'll put it in the bulletin somewhere or something so you can keep it or write it down. But literally it translates being kept continually filled with the Spirit. Let me give it to you again. Be being kept continually filled with the Spirit. That is a command, but it is a passive command. It is a command where you and I must set ourselves before God in a way that God fills us with His Spirit. And it's written in a way that it's an ongoing thing. It's a constant thing, a continual thing. It's not in the Scriptures. I always thought it was, and I looked it up, tried to look it up a few weeks ago, And we find part of it there, but we find the implication here. There's one baptism, one spirit, one baptism. That's true. That's scripture. You can go look that up there in the writings of the Apostle Paul. But this phrase that I'd heard, there's one baptism but many fillings. I think someone wrote a book on that one time. There are many fillings. And it's verse 18 that teaches us this and tells us this, because it is the ongoing, continual state of God acting upon us. Passive voice means something happens to us. Someone comes to us, and it is the work of God. The Spirit of God does this to you and to me. And because it's consistent, because it's continual, it is moment by moment, it is day by day, it is a deed by deed, it is word by word, that you and I are to be continually in being filled with the Spirit of God. It's something that's got to keep on happening. It's got to keep happening to you and to me. It doesn't just come in and move in. The Spirit of God doesn't just come in and it's just automatic. You and I must choose to walk with God day by day. A daily quiet time is a good way to begin. It's a good place to start. And much more is needed, but that's a good place to start. Just a day, a time every day where you get up and you're alone with God and you open up the scriptures and you read, and God shows you things. God shows us things from His Word, and it stirs up our mind, it stirs up our heart, and then we having heard that and experienced that, then throughout the day, God will use that with you and me in our lives, and that is one of the things that that alludes to. Well, it means to be filled. We'll look at that word, and then we'll close this morning. But it is the word, it's the Greek word pleroo. And it's the word filled, and it's not just a normal, usual word like you fill up a glass. And that's one of the big illustrations that people use. But this word is used in other places, in the Greek world and the Roman world. But it's a picture of a wind, of the wind blowing a sail on a sailing vessel. The wind coming down and filling that sail with wind and driving it forward. That's what it means. The wind comes in and it takes control of the sail and thrusts that sailing vessel in whatever direction it's going in. And that is the word that is used here of the Spirit of God to come and to fill us and thrust us, to lead us along in life, to take us where He wants us to go. You see, it's not about you and me doing what we think is the will of God, but it's you and me yielding to God and the Spirit of God filling us and driving us and pushing us and controlling us. Literally, the far end of that meaning of that word means to be in total control. The Spirit of God needs to be in control of your life and my life. Why? Because we are masters at making up plans. We are masters of doing things in our own power and in our own strength. And so there's that word that means to fill up, but it literally means to control, to have total control. It's also a word used to put salt on meat to preserve it. When the salt permeates that meat to kill and to restrain the bacteria there, then it goes in and it does its work. And it's that same idea for you and me, that we yield ourselves to God every single day. Brothers and sisters, that's a daily discipline for our lives. To yield to Him and surrender to Him. To get our marching orders, our working order, work orders for the day, what He wants to do there. There are some powerful more truths about this, but we're going to come back next Sunday morning and look at that. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes as we come to this time of invitation today. And we've had those who stood before this congregation this morning and professed and confessed that God saved them. There may be others here today who need to do that same thing. You might be sitting here today and saying, you know, if I died today, I'm not sure that I would go into the presence of God and dwell with Him and live with Him forever. You know, if you don't have that knowledge, you don't have that confidence, then God is speaking to you. He's brought you here today so that you might know. And so that you might say yes to Him. There are those saying, God can't do anything like that for me. I'm just too bad. There's something in me. I can't handle that. That won't be true. It won't work for me. People will say that. That will not work for me. But you know what God says for us to do? He says, say yes to Him. Say yes to Jesus Christ. Say yes to what He did for you and me. And then say yes to Him. And then in prayer, to call upon God, confessing our sin, and asking for forgiveness, and asking for salvation, and submitting ourselves to Jesus Christ in faith. That's what God has called everyone on the face of this earth to do. And if you're here today and you have never come to that place, that point, if that's not your relationship with God right now, then right now, God wants you to know that you need to come to Him. Right now, He wants you to do that. A few moments, we're going to stand and sing, and I'll be down at the front. But if you would say, this is what I need in my life, I'll be standing at the front. You can just step out and come down to me, and I'll talk with you, and we'll pray together. There are those of you who have made the profession, and you've come today, and you've stood before this body. And I'm going to ask that if that's the confirmation in your heart, what you want to be in obedience, you want to come to be baptized, I'm going to ask you just come stand down with me at the front again. You don't have to say anything, but just stand to confirm that that's what you're doing today in this place. I want you to come on your own volition, your own will. There's just something about doing that. That's why I'm asking you to do that. You don't have to stay, won't have to be voted again or anything, but just to come and stand and say, yes, this is what God wants me to do. If you're here today in this place and there's another need in your life, maybe you can't even share it, but you can come to the altar and just give it to God. Seek the will of God in your life before you leave this building today. And Father, today we thank You. We thank You for giving salvation to these who have witnessed and testified of Your grace today. We thank You, Father, for giving to all of us who have walked with You for many years. But now, Father, we just desire a renewed relationship and a renewed walk with You. We want to live for You every day, and we want lost people to come to know You. We want lost people to be saved, to be born again of Your Spirit. And Father, most of all, we want to be filled with Your Spirit. We know that we're not even to ask that it's Your will. It's already a command. But we ask today, Father, that You help work in our lives in a way that we will walk before You faithfully and walk before You in the power of Your Spirit. And we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.